News from the Nations, from the Testimony magazine for November 2022. Even accounting for Western propaganda, a balanced assessment of the war in Ukraine would conclude that things are not going well for Russia. The call-up of reservists suggests that reports of heavy Russian casualties are accurate, and leaked footage of protests confirms the unpopularity of the war amongst significant sections of the Russian population. Despite these setbacks, Russia has formally annexed the occupied areas of Ukraine following referenda at the beginning of October. One outcome of this has been that as Russian forces have continued to suffer setbacks on the ground, the media narrative in Russia has turned increasingly anti-Semitic. President Vladimir Putin had previously distinguished himself as perhaps the most pro-Israel Russian leader of the modern era. During his premiership, he has cracked down on anti-Semitism in Russia with forceful policing and harsh sentences. However, as increasing reports of Ukrainian battlefield success come to the fore, media and government attention has turned to the Western allies, specifically singling out Israel. We first noted this in August, commenting on the Russian government's move to shut down the Jewish agency in Moscow, a move which was widely viewed as a retaliation for Israel's criticism of the invasion of Ukraine. In more recent weeks, Israeli agencies monitoring anti-Semitic activity have reported a significant increase in anti-Jewish reporting in the Russia media. These reports appear to be made with impunity and have included accusations that Russian Jews are, quote, unpatriotic, and that they have sided with Ukraine out of, quote, greed, raising the spectre of ancient anti-Semitic tropes. Reporters do not believe that Putin's government is actively orchestrating these anti-Semitic attacks. Rather, they reflect a loosening of policing and the taboo that had previously restrained it under Putin's regime. During September, the proxy war between the West and Russia escalated another notch when the Nord Stream offshore gas pipelines were both sabotaged within days of each other. The European Union has confirmed that the leaks were the result of sabotage rather than technical failures, and who is behind these acts remains a mystery, with the Russians accusing the Americans and the Americans accusing the Russians. There are elements of this mystery that seem like a detective novel, in which every character appears to have a motive for the crime. The scale of the sabotage and the sophistication required make it almost certain that the attacks were carried out at state level. But by whom and why? We will not investigate this any further in the article, but we can reflect that the world appears to be in an ever-escalating spiral of conflict, and energy currently appears to be the principal weapon of choice. Russia had already reduced gas flows to the European Union to a fraction of what is normal, running down supplies just before winter. And this latest development ensures that the difficult days lie ahead, and that the stability, security, and warmth to which many of us have grown accustomed looked set to end. Extreme political uncertainty in the United Kingdom followed the appointment of Liz Truss as Prime Minister in September. Her new government proved to be even less popular with many of the principal media organisations and commentators than its predecessor, led by Boris Johnson. Criticisms of the new government came not only from within, but also, extraordinarily, from the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, whose comments were not limited to financial analysis, but also had strong moral and ideological overtones. Such criticisms perhaps reveal what might be described as the supranational public policy orthodoxy that seems to have enveloped many institutions across the world. Any political leaders who do not, quote, fit the mould or align with received wisdom are subjected to sustained and often coordinated attacks. Another example of this can be seen in the recent election of a right-wing leader in Italy, discussed in more detail below. In biblical terms, we might describe this phenomenon as a modern-day secular manifestation of the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons found in the first letter to Timothy, chapter 4. Energized by a humanistic philosophy that draws nations together in a spirit of unity to rise up and solve, quote, humanity's ills. The United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and the IMF, to name but a few, have a remarkable degree of uniformity in public policy and coordination. Are we witnessing the return of the spirit of Babel on a global scale? Come, let us build, we read in Genesis 11. Come, let us build and let us make a name for ourselves. Now, this is not to say that the unorthodox policies proposed by the current British or Italian governments have a particular merit, but rather to note the religious fervour with which any deviation from received public policy doctrine is denounced, almost as heresy, by the unelected leaders of these global bodies and the governments that support them. Another move that, should it come to fruition, would be certain to provoke an outpouring of hyperbole and hysteria is the possibility that the UK is considering moving its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. An announcement made ahead of a meeting with Israel's Prime Minister at the United Nations in New York, Ms. Truss said that her government would undertake a review of the embassy's current location. The announcement sparked a unified response from Arab nations, including Gulf state signatories to the Abraham Accords and leaders of European nations. Again, such a move is counter to the received public policy doctrine that Jerusalem should not be recognized as the capital of Israel until a two-state solution is realized. One might recall the predictions of doom that were made in 2018 when Donald Trump relocated the US embassy to Jerusalem. Yet the very opposite occurred, and the move preceded the biggest improvement in Arab-Israeli relations in 70 years with the establishment of the Abraham Accords. Such a move would almost certainly harm British political and economic interests in the Arab world at a time when Britain is trying to reach out and become a global trading power again. In a roundabout way, stating the intention but then not following it through might create the best of both worlds, strengthening ties with both Israel and the Arab nations. New Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's policy remains to be seen, but it is interesting to note potential developments and see the nations moving and aligning as they are. For the time being, Britain seems to be on a divergent path from many other nations. One thing we can be certain, our Heavenly Father is in control and will bring all things to fruition in his own good time. And we pray that it will not be long. The EU has clicked into authoritarian mode in response to the election of Italy's new Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, a right-wing conservative. Ms. Meloni has come to power with a message focused on traditional family values, faith, and a rejection of uncontrolled immigration and recent trends in equality and diversity. Some are also concerned by her political roots, which are seen by some as a modern-day incarnation of Mussolini's fascism. Although there is clearly nothing fascist about the policies she is promoting, despite howls to the contrary in much of the media, the same might not be said of the EU's response to her election in a thinly veiled threat. EU President Ursula von der Leyen warned the Italians that if they took their country in a, quote, a difficult direction, the EU had the, quote, tools to deal with them. Such comments illustrate the authoritarian attitude at the heart of the EU. Whilst at the moment the EU president has not followed through on her threat to punish Italians for their failure to choose the, quote, approved politician, it is not difficult to foresee such actions being deployed as political instability in the EU increases. Interestingly, Ms. Meloni is a supporter of Israel, despite her party's connections with the fascism of the early 20th century. And this is counter to Italy's usual support for the Palestinian Authority, as is the norm in most EU political circles. And this is another reason she will be unpopular with the EU establishment. Russian expansionism in Ukraine and its weaponization of energy supplies to the EU are driving radical changes within the EU. Germany in particular has been driven against the will of its political leaders to supply lethal aid to Ukraine and to make massive increases in domestic defence spending. At the beginning of the war, Germany was reluctant to become involved or even to support sanctions. As the war has dragged on, however, Germany has had to confront its naive energy policies that created a massive dependency on Russian gas. And this has driven a steady shift in policy. At the end of September, the German defense minister stated that Germany must be proactive in taking on a leadership role militarily, whether it wants to or not. This comes following a 100 billion euro special fund that was set up for military investment earlier in 2022. This policy has also been recently set out by the German Chancellor, who stated his intent that Germany should become the best equipped armed force in Europe. Germany is being forced to rearm and to grow its military capability significantly. And this is happening alongside a rapidly developing policy within the EU to enter into a defence pact with Ukraine and develop a coordinated and enhanced EU defence policy. These developments and the others considered above remind us how quickly things can change and established norms can shift, especially in times of flux. We know there is a time of great upheaval coming, when nations will be in great turmoil, like the sea and the waves roaring in a terrible storm. Luke chapter 21. Let us not be fearful as we see these things unfold, but rather let us encourage one another in our precious faith to look forward with joy to the revealing of the one who will say, "Peace, be still," and usher in a glorious new age of peace and prosperity.